Welcome to the Confluence Investment Management Asset Allocation Weekly Report dated April 9th, 2021. Today, we look at how an aging population impacts inflation. I'm Phil Adler. I'm speaking with Confluence Investment Management market strategist Patrick Fearon Hernandez. Patrick, your basic view is that an aging population is anti-inflationary. Why?
First, thanks for having me on the show, Bill. Data from the U.S. Census Bureau make it pretty clear that people typically start to ratchet down their consumption spending as they approach and then enter into retirement. The decline starts roughly when people hit the age of 55 or so. And that makes sense, since many of them at that point no longer have children in the house and they're starting to focus on building up their retirement savings. Since personal consumption expenditures are the main driver for economic growth in the developed countries, at least, you would expect that overall consumer spending growth would weaken as average ages rise. Weaker demand should translate into weaker prices.
Which countries are aging the fastest?
Well, among the major developed and emerging markets, Japan, Italy, Germany, and Spain have the highest median ages, according to the United Nations Population Division. But the countries with the fastest increase in median age are largely in Asia, including South Korea, Taiwan, Thailand, and China.
And what's the recent history of population aging in the United States?
Well, among the major economies, the U.S. is just about in the middle of the pack. Its median age in 2020 was 38.31 years, which is far below the 48.36 years in Japan, but it's well above the 29.17 years in Mexico and the 28.43 years in India, just as an example. The median age is certainly rising, but only moderately. That's probably because the U.S. birth rate remains higher than many other major countries, and probably also because we have more immigrants who tend to be younger.
Is there any reason to think that the aging trend in the United States will halt or reverse course?
There isn't much sign of a reversal, at least in the near term. Indeed, it's reasonable to think U.S. population aging will worsen in the coming years. Statistical data is already showing that the coronavirus pandemic has discouraged family formation and new births, while the immigration clampdown under President Trump has held down immigration. Even if those trends reverse a bit, it would probably take a while for it to have an impact.
Patrick, Confluence Investment Management has conducted its own study showing the impact of aging on inflation in several countries around the world. What did you discover?
Our study, which focused on 10 major developed and emerging markets that have a relatively comparable definition of core consumer inflation, found that indeed higher median ages are associated with lower rates of core inflation. And by core inflation, I mean inflation excluding the volatile food and energy components. Moreover, our analysis suggests that the relationship is fairly robust, although consumer prices can certainly respond to other factors as well, such as near-term commodity supply disruptions.
Aging sounds like a trend that takes some time to play out, might not be sufficient to hold down overall inflation in the short term. Is this correct?
Exactly. Those other factors that I mentioned, from commodity supply disruptions to new regulations, can have a powerful impact on prices, and they can have their impact relatively quickly. Population aging plays out over a longer period. The way we look at it is that population aging is probably a significant background headwind to inflation, but it's often overwhelmed by near-term factors, including just the base effects that we've been talking about as the global economy recovers from the pandemic.
The financial markets presently seem to be worried about near-term inflation. You say that an aging population is one long-term damper on inflation. What are some short-term factors that the markets might be looking past that may help hold inflation in check?
Well, one factor would simply be if the economic snapback is slower than expected. In other words, if demand rebounds more slowly, there would be less upward pressure on prices in the near term. Another potential factor is if oil producers ramp up their production too fast in anticipation of the economic recovery, the resulting excess supply could keep energy prices from rising as much as they otherwise would. All the same, we think the overall scenario will be for a moderate transitory acceleration in inflation before price gains start to tame down later in the year.
Patrick, I'd like to take a further look at what you identified just a few moments ago as the base effects. We know that economic headlines can be misleading. Inflation is sometimes measured year over year, and when we measure against a time of economic distress, inflation can seem like more of a problem than it really is. And I guess this is the phenomenon you call base effects. How is this playing out recently?
Well, yeah, it's a big part of today's inflation picture, which is why we're talking about it so much. Last year, as the pandemic took hold and economic demand cratered, lots of prices fell or at least failed to rise. Now, as we approach the one-year anniversary of that period, comparing today's stronger prices to those weak prices 1 year ago will make inflation look high. That's the base effect. But it's mostly just because we're comparing to weaker prices a year ago. In other words, to a lower base. Once we move into late 2021, we won't be comparing current prices to such low year earlier prices, so inflation shouldn't look as high.
Patrick, is an aging population a factor that the Federal Reserve has ever mentioned as one reason it is not overly concerned at present about runaway inflation?
Well, policymakers at the Fed have indeed mentioned demographics, but their main argument is that current economic activity remains far weaker than it would need to be in order to produce high, lasting inflation. The policymakers stress that the labor market still has a lot of slack, which should hold down wage rates, for example. They're focused on those shorter-term inflation factors, but they are well aware that population aging will also tend to hold down inflation in the coming years.
As we conclude, could you reiterate the confluence near-term and long-term prognosis for U.S. inflation?
Well, we do think that consumer inflation will rise into, say, mid-2021, though not to the super high levels that were reached, say, back in the 1970s. Will inflation get above the Fed's target of 2%? Yes, but above 4% or 5%? Probably not. Whatever level is reached in mid-2021, we expect some moderation later this year. Then we could go several more years where inflation is relatively moderate, although loose monetary and fiscal policy, protectionist trade policies, and higher regulation are likely to force up inflation farther out into the future.
And how do confluence asset allocation models reflect this outlook?
When setting our asset allocation strategy, we focus our economic and financial forecasts on the coming 3 years. So the operable dynamics for us right now are the acceleration in near-term inflation, which has argued for shorter bond durations and increased exposure to gold and commodities, and the expected moderation inflation later this year and into 2022. One key consideration for us is that today's loose monetary policy and high fiscal spending are largely being channeled into the asset markets rather than higher prices for goods and services. Since we expect that to continue for a while yet, we still think it's a good time to have exposure to equities.
Thank you, Patrick. Our discussion today is based upon sources and data believed to be accurate and reliable. We wish to state that opinions and forward-looking statements expressed are subject to change without notice. This information does not constitute a solicitation or an offer to buy or sell any security. Our engineer is Dane Stoll. I'm Phil Adler.